Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Today, we have a docket that is just screaming demonetization from the YouTube censors. But guess what? We're going to do it anyway. First, Andrew Cuomo, charges officially dismissed. The DA still doesn't say what element he couldn't prove. Ethan Crumley waives his preliminary hearing. Sentencing in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Let's just say it didn't go well for the defense. Charges dismissed for those Bureau of Prison officers whose only job was to make sure that they checked in on Jeffrey Epstein. George Floyd trial, round two. If you thought crime was bad in New York City, well, buckle up. It's only going to get worse. And finally, our dumb criminal of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. As we stated, that's right, today's docket is just screaming demonetization. I can see those little YouTubers over there just ready to hit demonetize, but we're going to do it anyway. But one thing before we get started. First, if you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. Also, hit that little bell so you receive notifications, all right? And remember, if you can't watch us, you can listen to us anytime, not only this episode, but past episodes, by downloading Crime Talk with Scott Reich from any of your favorite podcasting apps. All right, let's get to it. We're going to do it anyway, all right? I've just about had it up to here with everything being demonetized by YouTube. So what the hell? Let's just go for it. I know YouTube thinks that the world is nothing but lollipops and gumdrops, but the reality of it is there's a lot of stuff going on in the world that people need to know about. All right, here we go. First, disgraced Andrew Cuomo. That's right, the guy that resigned from the governor's office because of allegations of sexual misconduct. Well, he appeared in court virtually and the court dismissed the groping charges. That's right, the one where the aide accused him of fondling her at the executive mansion. Now, prosecutors say there wasn't enough evidence to convict the now disgraced, resigned and disgraced former governor. As you may recall, Brittany Camuso, who said Cuomo reached up her blouse and grabbed her breast in late 2020 while they were alone in the executive mansion, where she had been summoned to help the governor with his cell phone. That's right, the old cell phone. Can you help me with my cell phone trick as we work after hours? Apparently didn't work so great for the governor. Well, of course, the governor said he did no such thing, saying that that would be an act of insanity or a guy who thinks he could get away with just about anything and that the women loved him to the ends of the earth. You tell me. Well, her testimony was obviously part of the damning report released in August by the Democratic State Attorney General Letitia James that concluded Cuomo sexually harassed and or assaulted 11 women. Cuomo resigned later that month. He called the report unfair and he vehemently denied the groping allegations. Of course he did, because that's what's going to get criminally charged. Now, the prosecutor stated that the statutory elements of the New York law make this case impossible to prove, and he added that multiple government inquiries into Cuomo's conduct had created technical and procedural hurdles regarding prosecutors' obligations to disclose evidence to the defense. Okay. That is the biggest bunch of poppycock I have heard in a long time. This prosecutor has stated that he believed the complaining witness in this case and he found her credible. That means the case is going to go forward and it's a question of fact for the jury to decide. District attorney has an ethical obligation to turn over evidence within his or her possession, not everything out there that could be in possession of somebody. So the prosecutor saying, oh, there's things that the legislature may have that we don't have. Okay, guess what? Cuomo's attorney could subpoena that information, and it was probably already provided in the report. So this is the lamest reason why a case has not gone forward. I assure you, if this was you or me or your family member and that allegation was being presented, guess what? The district attorney would glom on and say that this woman is absolutely credible, and this needs to be resolved by a jury, ladies and gentlemen. So I don't buy this for one thing. I think this is nothing more than the Cuomo power extending itself a little farther, even when he is out of office, probably for all those favors paid. Now, some people may say, Scott, that's not very unbiased. No, it is unbiased, because I'm telling you, if that were you or me, you'd be charged, okay? And everyone should be offended when somebody in a position of power, or was in a position of power, gets a free pass on something like that. Next on the docket, Ethan Crumley waives his preliminary hearing. This morning, the Oxford, Michigan shooter, Ethan Crumley, waived his preliminary hearing just moments before the proceeding was set to begin. Now, Crumley, is for those of you who don't know, is accused of murdering Hannah St. Julia, Tate Meyer, Madison Baldwin, and a fourth teen, Justin Schilling, who actually died the next morning. The others passed away at the school. Now, Crumley is also accused of several other charges, and we've talked about this before. It's not uncommon for a defendant to waive the preliminary hearing, usually in exchange for some sort of offer. Now, the proceedings function as kind of a, I wouldn't say miniature trial, but to determine whether there's enough evidence to bind the case over for a full trial. Now, the statute there in Michigan sets forth Crumley's procedure that he did not want to utilize. At the preliminary examination, the magistrate shall examine the complaint and the witnesses in support of the prosecution's allegations on oath in the presence of the defendant concerning the offense charged and regarding any other matters connected with the charge that the magistrate considers pertinent. That's what the statute says. Now, the preliminary hearing measures probable cause to determine that a crime was committed and that the defendant, seated before the judge, was actually the person who committed it. Now, in rare instances, the prosecution can't meet that relatively low probable cause threshold, and I mean rare. Well, and if that were the case would be dismissed. Mr. Crumley, knowing obviously that the evidence was overwhelming in this particular case, decided to waive that right to have that evidence presented in open court. Now the case will be bound over to the district court for an arraignment and actual setting of trial. Now, Mr. Crumley is still in an adult facility, even though his attorneys want him put into a juvenile detention facility, because basically, and I'm not joking when I say this, they say that, well, this was an isolated incident. I get it. As a criminal defense attorney, I've said some things that I think, wow, I can't believe I said that. But for them to say in a multiple school shooting that the this was just a isolated incident, I think that's a little tough to swallow. But needless to say, the judge didn't buy it. He remains in the adult facility, even though his attorneys want him to go back so that he can attend school. The irony of it all, isn't it? But I think that's the least of his concerns. He will have plenty of time as he spends the rest of his life ultimately in prison. Of course, we'll give him the presumption of innocence. But let's get real, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a whodunit, and it's pretty much after deliberation. So I'm not sure what the defense is going to do unless they can come up with some sort of mental defect or disease. He's probably going to prison for the rest of his life. He'll have plenty of time. He can get one hell of an education. He can get his GED, maybe start attending college classes. Who knows? Maybe he can even get a graduate degree or two. He's going to have plenty of time to do it. Now, Mr. Crumley's parents, they're going to appear this afternoon prior to the recording of this, where they also will have a court hearing. We'll see if they continue to remain in custody, which I believe they will. I'm not sure the judge is going to buy their story that they were going to turn themselves in. And the bond is significantly higher than one would normally see in a case like this. But I understand the emotions are high, so they're probably going to remain in custody. We'll let you know if something changes. Do you know who's also going to have a lot of time to think about things and spend time on their education? Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan. That's right. They were all sentenced regarding their involvement in the death of Ahmaud Arbery. Now, Travis McMichael is 36, Gregory McMichael is 66, and William Roddy Bryant, he's 52. Well, they were sentenced Friday. The McMichaels were both sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Bryant will be eligible for parole, but only after he serves a mandatory minimum of 30 years. Now, given his age, let's face it, it is a life sentence. Not saying that any of these three do not deserve to spend the rest of their life in prison. Now, Judge Timothy Walmsley called the murders chilling and disturbing, and that's exactly what it was, and it was a murder. The mother of Ahmaud Arbery referred to it as a public lynching. Now, as you may recall, the prosecutors chose not to seek the death penalty, but they were all convicted at trial. Ahmaud Arbery's mother, father, and sister all gave victim impact statements, and they asked the judge to impose the maximum sentence on all three men. Now, court was required to do that, and Mr. Bryan was the only one who had the possibility of receiving some sort of parole after 30 years. And as you may recall, Mr. Arbery was 26 years old when he was gunned down. When he was jogging on February 23rd of 2020. Now, some people say he wasn't jogging, but guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It was murder. Whether you thought he was in a house, whether he was out, and I took a lot of heat for this. I said early on, the defense that these people were going to put up, that they were somehow doing a citizen's arrest, wasn't going to fly. All right, just when you think things couldn't get weirder, when it came to that guy named Jeff, that's right, Jeffrey Epstein, because we are in complete demonetization mode today, ladies and gentlemen. So a federal judge in New York dismissed charges against two Bureau of Prison security officers who admitted to falsifying records on the night that Jeffrey Epstein died of an alleged suicide in 2019. Now, the U.S. District Court Judge Annalisa Torres ordered the charges dropped against the guards Tova Noel and Michael Thomas after prosecutors said in filings that the guards completed deferred prosecution agreements signed in May. Now, according to a letter from federal prosecutors, the security officers agreed to provide truthful information relating to their employment by the Bureau of Prisons, including about the events circumstances described in the indictment. Now, according to the letter from federal prosecutors that was filed, the guards had to complete 100 hours of useful public service and cooperate with the Department of Justice Inspector General's review. Well, as you may recall, Mr. Epstein was awaiting trial at the Metropolitan Correctional Center, Manhattan, having pled not guilty to the federal charges accusing him of operating a sex trafficking ring from 2002 to 2005 at his Manhattan mansion, as well as his Palm Springs estate. Don't forget to throw in that little island and that little spread down there in New Mexico, where he was allegedly paying for girls as young as 14 to massage and pleasure him. Now, he was obviously found dead in his cell on August 10th of 2019. A medical examiner ruled it suicide by hanging. Now, the former guards, Noel and Thomas, were working as guards that night, and according to the initial indictment in the case, the guards repeatedly failed to complete the required count of prisoners on their watch in the specialized housing unit and where they were being held. Jason Foy, an attorney for Ms. Noel, said she did not take any action to commit a crime. The shortcomings and the mistakes made by Ms. Noel were a result of inexperience, lack of proper and sufficient training, and being put in a position to fail by the leadership of the correctional center. In November of 2019, both of the officers pled not guilty to conspiracy to falsifying records, and according to the initial indictment, the two signed false certifications saying that they had performed their duties the night that Mr. Epstein had died. It was alleged that no officer completed any count or round in the unit between 10:30 p.m. and 6:30 a.m., at which time Noel and Thomas discovered that Mr. Epstein was in fact dead. This decision comes after Epstein's life has received fresh scrutiny in the aftermath of the prosecution of his longtime girlfriend, Ghislaine Maxwell, who last week was convicted by a jury and found her guilty of five of the six counts. She still awaits counts of some perjury charges. But as we brought you the video yesterday, and I think it's worth watching, a juror gone rogue basically screwed this up for everybody, and the judge should just grant a new trial for Ms. Ghislaine Maxwell and hold that juror in contempt of court and possibly consider pursuing charges for perjury. That is my humble opinion. We'll see what the judge does, but this juror should be punished. Everybody is entitled to a fair and impartial jury. And when jurors don't accurately disclose the information that they know is relevant, that is a fraud upon the court. And for that, they should be punished so as not only to deter them, but others who are similarly situated. If you want to be an advocate for a particular cause, go to law school. You don't sit on a jury and fly under the radar and ultimately persuade your jurors based upon information that was not presented at the trial. We're fired up today, ladies and gentlemen. All right, next on the docket, George Floyd round two. Former Minneapolis police officers Tao Tao, Jay Koenig, and Thomas Lane will head to trial this month on January 20th, 9 months after Derek Chauvin was convicted in George Floyd's death. On Thursday, the trial date was set in a docket filing. The proceedings will be held in St. Paul. Juror summonses had been sent out for that date, according to the court records. And that's been confirmed. The three men have been charged with federal civil rights violation in Floyd's death. All are charged with depriving Floyd of his rights when they did not give medical care. Tao and Koenig were also charged with violating Floyd's right to be free from unreasonable seizure as they did not stop Chauvin from kneeling on Mr. Floyd's neck. Koenig and Lane assisted in restraining Floyd, 46, while he was on the ground, according to the evidence in the state case against Chauvin. Now, Lane held down Floyd's legs while Koenig knelt on Floyd's back. Tao presented bystanders from intervening while Floyd was restrained. A witness from Chauvin's state case testified that they saw violence from Tao. What violence do you recall hearing? That's right. The witness testified that Tao put his hand on his mace. That's right. That's the violence, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, as you all know, Chauvin was sentenced to 22 and a half years on his state conviction. He pled guilty last month to a single federal charge in Floyd's death, but hasn't yet been sentenced for that crime. Federal prosecutors are seeking a 25-year term. Go figure, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see how things turn out. Obviously, these officers were not the main culprit, but when you are charged as a complicitor or a conspirator, you can be held responsible for all that your co-complicitors do. That's right. So not good, and particularly when the other guy, Derek Chauvin, was already found guilty. Of course, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing at him saying he's the bad guy. All these other officers, I think one was literally on the job for a week, probably has a little bit more of defense of saying, man, I didn't know what the hell was going on. This is my first week on the job. We'll have to wait and see. The defense will probably want to play up more of the fact, I don't think it came out, I think they were probably being a little too nice, is that they have to show that George Floyd, although didn't deserve to die, there was a lot of fentanyl in his system. Frankly, the defense has to stop being the nice guy in this particular case, and I'm not doing this to disparage Mr. Floyd. I'm just telling you, I think the defense has to come out swinging and say, hey, this guy, we didn't know what the hell he was capable of. Was he on PCP? He's a known drug addict. He's got problems. We deal with this every day. And then blame Derek Chauvin. That's what they have to do to hopefully get out of criminal responsibility here, or at least to minimize that. All right. If you think that crime is bad in New York, and you know it's only up like 100%, right? Something crazy. Well, hold on and buckle up. The newly elected Manhattan District Attorney, a guy by the name of Alvin Bragg, has told his prosecutors, some 500 in his office, in a memo that they should ask judges for jail or prison time only for the most serious offenses. What are those most serious offenses? Well, only murder, sexual assault, and economic crimes involving vast sums of money. Okay, I wonder if that would include attempted murder. Would that include attempted sexual assault? What about sexual crimes against children there, Mr. Bragg? And what dollar amount involves significant sums of money? Maybe you should ask the victims if whatever was stolen was a significant amount of money. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what's going on there in New York. Frankly, ladies and gentlemen, the old adage that you get the government that you deserve, who keeps voting these people in? Don't get me wrong. There is always going to be crime. And as somebody that has done criminal defense his career, there will always be crime because there will be sex, drugs, and the opposite sex. It's inevitable, okay? But I don't understand why some of these citizens are electing these prosecutors that are saying they don't want anyone prosecuted. That's great until somebody takes something from you or harms you or your family member. I don't know what the hell is going on in the world anymore, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Mr. Bragg instructed his prosecutors to avoid seeking jail time for even certain robberies and assaults, gun possession cases where no other crimes are involved directly, and they are no longer to request prison sentences of any more than 20 years absent exceptional circumstances. So I'm not sure what an exceptional circumstance might be. Is that a career criminal who has done the same crime repeatedly over and over and over again? Maybe it's something violent, very well planned out, methodical. I don't know. All I know is if I was living in New York City, I'd be moving.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about, what was in their background? Now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. All right. When planning to rob sex toys from an adult store, it's best to avoid an establishment where you've recently applied for a job. That's the advice we'd want to give to this young man. A 29-year-old man is behind bars on multiple criminal charges after allegedly stealing $350 worth of items from a Pennsylvania business, and then he threatened to stab the clerk who, well, tried to stop him. Jacob McFarland. Jacob. Well, last week he entered an Adult World Emporium in North Wales, a Philadelphia suburb. He walked out with a pair of masturbators, a $95.99 Fleshlight model, and an Auto Blow, which retails for about $250. I'll let you decide what the Auto Blow is. Now, when the Adult World workers confronted Mr. McFarland in the store parking lot, the accused masturbator thief allegedly threatened to stab the man. The employee, cops noted, was capable of identifying Mr. McFarland because he had recently applied for a position at Adult World. Now, in a police statement, the victim said that Jacob came into Adult World and instantly walked to the back of the store and grabbed the two sex toys. Officers were able to quickly locate Mr. McFarland at the hotel steps away from Adult World. He was found carrying a knife and a backpack with a lock on it. Cops applied for a search warrant, so at least the cops were being thorough, because you can't just open up the backpack with a lock on it and see what's inside. Otherwise, the evidence would be suppressed, so good on the cops. So anyway, the cops applied for the search warrant for the backpack, which led to the masturbators. Now, Mr. McFarland was charged with robbery, a felony, and several misdemeanors, including retail theft and making terroristic threats. He's being held in the county lockup on a $5,000 bond. Well, the Crime Talk staff, always trying to bring you the information you're not going to get anywhere else, has done some research. Now, apparently the Auto Blow, their creators, contend that the 10-speed masturbator, which plugs into a wall outlet, uses artificial intelligence to provide the perfect pleasuring. We'll just leave it right there, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Thanks for watching. Hopefully you YouTube censors out there give us a little bit of credit here and don't demonetize us. But somehow I think you are. You've demonetized, I think, 8 out of the last 10 videos that we put up. So good on you. Really appreciate it. And you wonder why creators stop creating. Thanks, YouTube. Anyway, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk. And don't forget, we have a weekend update for you coming this week as well. See you next time.